This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dr. Eric Sprankle is going to be with us in a few minutes. Now, he is a clinical psychologist and sex therapist. His book, The Wonderfully Weird History and Science of Masturbation, it covers a lot of
my
business.
God.
He's written the compendium on jerking off. It is truly, it's funny, but the fact that it is absolutely 100% scientifically
right
above board. He debunks all the anti-porn people. Like, you know, if you don't listen, you can overdo it with porn, certainly with anything.
Right.
It's possible. But what they say happens, to you.
Yep.
What the problem is just, it's nothing more than tragedy profiteering, weakness profiteering. They just, listen, we all like, well, if you like it, naked people, right? We
yeah
like to look at, we think it's fun. We
mm-hmm
think it's sexy. We have adult feelings.
Boobies.
Because we have adult feelings.
Yeah.
But for the record, they don't show anything to do, like when women watch porn,
mm-hmm,
absolutely, everything seems to be fantastic. In fact, all research shows that women who watch porn have a much higher degree of sexual satisfaction during not only masturbation, but sexual relationships with their partner.
So we're doing it right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, nailed it.
Yeah, so, but there's all kinds of, like, but there's a lot of money in, you know, a $70,000 you know, hospital stay.
Jerk rehab.
It's so crazy.
Tuggers Anonymous.
But it's just, you just think to yourself, and you
$70,000.
And you all sit around a circle and talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you gotta share your route.
Yeah.
You know?
It's okay, you're very brave.
Yeah,
keep talking.
I paid a lot.
Yeah, I know. I know, we all do.
$70,000.
It's, but it goes really deep. And so I've marked a lot of stuff in this, a lot of discussion, everything from a dying wish of hospice masturbation to what happens with peep shows and camming, masturbate smarter, not harder, where sex dolls have come to, why they probably are pretty good things, everything from what squirting really is, what female ejaculation
finally
really is, yeah, gushers, all of that. The German spot, vibrator addiction, it shows everything that you could possibly imagine, where dildos came from. Asia, by the way.
Surprise, surprise.
Dirty. They've always been dirty, dirty, dirty people.
Mm-hmm.
And I say dirty with a wonderful smile on my face when I say that. A chick got 30 days in jail and a fine of $4,000 for selling a dildo one time.
Really?
It's in Austin, Texas, actually.
Huh.
And that was in 2000. But it just goes through all kinds of different ways to masturbate, the things you do, the things you don't, the things you like, the things you don't like, the research dumpster fire, everything that they talk about that is porn research, who has it, who's bad for watching it, what happens to your brain, in the anti-porn and anti-masturbation world. Like, you know, all those dude groups that got together now. Like, I don't know if it's the Proud Boys or whoever it was. Anyway, I don't trust any group of anything. And one of the tenets is to not masturbate. And I'm like, hey, man, I don't want to be part of your weird little group that tells me if I can touch my dick or not.
Yeah, what? Why?
Like, I don't know.
Does that make us stronger and more powerful?
But like, first of all, I'm very distrusting of any group of anything. But then you have this, and you have that, and you have this, and you have that. And then one of the things is, now you want to tell me if I can masturbate or not? I don't want to hang out with you.
Yeah, that's a bylaw?
No, but that's a real thing now. It's a group of men showing how tough they are by not touching their weenies. Mm. Like, listen, if I didn't masturbate, I wouldn't be the well-adjusted, pleasant person you see.
God, you're not you lying.
Right, yeah, that's a jingle!
Our next guest is a professor of clinical psychology at Minnesota State University Mankato, as well as being a licensed clinical psychologist and certified sex therapist affiliated with the Minnesota Sexual Health Institute. And today he's here to talk about his new book that takes a humorous deep dive into the untold story of the Crusaders on a campaign to suppress masturbation, the sex educators fighting back, and everyday people stuck in the middle who just want to touch their genitals in peace, titled DIY, The Wonderfully Weird History and Science of Masturbation. Please welcome Dr. Eric Sprinkle.
Dr. Eric, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, we are, let's just get this out of the way. We're pro-masturbation.
That's good.
I was yesterday.
Yep, same.
What about you, Nick?
Sunday.
Jake?
Yesterday.
Yep. We're pro-masturbators. And I read this book, and I realize it's not a joke book. There's some really funny moments in this book, but you do clear up a lot of the new myths, new discussions, and I find it absolutely absurd that we're still talking about whether or not you should rub your genitals.
Right, I know. I didn't think that this book was needed. Like, I thought believing that masturbation caused, like, hairy palms and blindness, that was just kind of old wives' tales we heard as children, and we grew out of it. But no, there are large segments of the population, especially online, that really believe masturbation is a destroyer of bodies and souls.
Here's what I didn't know reading this book, and even I was like, ew, fetus touching. Now, obviously, they don't have hormones. They don't have the ability to fantasize, that none of that is being implied in this. But we do know for sure, what did you say, 78% of those studied, you could see it, with they were grabbing, touching, rubbing where your genitals are.
Yeah, that was always surprising. I heard that possibly in college, like 20 years ago, and when I started writing the section on like childhood development, I was like, I wonder if that was just even a myth. But no, there was actually a lot of research that looked at ultrasound scans of developing fetuses and found a large majority of them are rubbing their genitals. So yeah, it starts in utero and doesn't stop until we die.
And I thought it was a very interesting idea that the anti-abortion movements is missing this argument.
Yeah, you know, you pass those billboards that say like, oh, I could smile at 13 weeks or something like that. They're missing an opportunity of like, I could masturbate at 23 weeks.
Well, and the billboard thing does drive me crazy. The real men don't use porn. So, well, real men have better imagination than I do. I need to look at something.
Right. And it's all the same, right? Either you have your eyes open looking at a fantasy, or you have your eyes closed thinking about a fantasy. There's really no difference. Your brain doesn't really care.
Yeah. And what we find out also in the book, it covers that discussion that they tell you now, like this is, by the way, it's really through social media. There are people, this for-profit organizations that really want to get into what they know, like the church knows, that your strongest urge in this life is sex. It's just what we wake up with. It's the thing that, call it evolutionary, the way we want to propagate the species, call it societal, whatever. It still is the strongest urge you have, so why not? That's the business you want to be in, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So these guys have started this idea that porn is it changes your brain output. And through your research, you found out that that's not necessarily true.
Yeah, it's typically a misrepresentation of what the research shows on any type of neurological relationship with porn watching. They make the kind of grand claim that porn causes brain damage. That's a big thing that they'll say. A lot of these anti-porn groups will say porn use causes brain damage, so that's why you shouldn't watch it. And that's the porn research into neuroscience and the neuroscience effects does not show that whatsoever. They certainly do not show a cause effect. at best, there's some studies that show there's a relationship with some differences in parts of your brain for higher porn viewers versus lower porn viewers. But that doesn't mean that the porn use caused those brain changes. It could have been those brain changes that influenced the porn watching, or it could have been some third variable that wasn't being studied that contributed to both the porn watching and the brain changes. And the other thing to keep in mind is that all these studies are done on healthy guys. They're all guys that have participated in these studies. They've all been studied on healthy men. So even if there are brain differences between porn viewers and non-porn viewers, there's no functional difference.
No.
There's no behavioral difference. These guys are all healthy regardless.
Yeah, and women who watch porn say that they have a greater sexual satisfaction with their partners and with themselves.
Yeah, and that's the confounding research that anti-porn groups can't really grapple with is that, yeah, there may be some research to suggest that men in relationships who watch porn, there could lead to or at least associated with some poor relational outcomes. And again, it's kind of what chicken and egg thing, which came first. But for women, the research shows that women who watch porn typically have more sex and greater a relationship with their partners. And that doesn't really fit well into an anti-porn narrative that porn destroys love and destroys relationships.
Hey, listen, Doc, I'm going to tell you right out of the gate. I dropped out of high school, but even I understand that pulling the shame away from a woman and allow herself to enjoy her own sexuality instead of society telling her she's a dirty whore will make you understand that now she can enjoy sex a little more. So yeah, normalizing watching sex, normalizing having those feelings, bing bong, look at that, you had an orgasm. Isn't this a wonderful world?
Yeah, and it's very straightforward like that. And that's the great irony with all of this. It's a very much a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you think porn is bad for you, if you think it's a sin, if it's unhealthy, but you watch porn and you masturbate anyways, yeah, you're going to feel distressed afterwards. You're going to feel pretty bad about yourself. But if you don't have those attitudes, then you're going to feel fine. And so it's like this is your own cross to bear. You just need to change your attitudes about how you think about masturbation.
And they sell that men can become dissatisfied in their own sexual relationships because they watch porn. And I was like, well, yeah. I also think that it might be worth pointing out that they see that there's a lot of other cool stuff you could be doing that maybe you're not getting.
Right. Yeah, and again, that research, too, doesn't show, like, the cause and effect direction. It's just oftentimes a relationship. And so other research has found that the more dissatisfying a relationship is for a guy, the more likely they are then to turn to porn as kind of like a supplement to their dissatisfaction in the relationship. And that, in turn, can lead to greater relational satisfaction. But it didn't really start with the masturbation or porn watching.
No, I'm going to let you know a secret. When I look at car magazines, I want to have more cars. But I think to myself, it's a crazy thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
We are fascinating people. Like I bought a late 1900s, early 1900s. And I have to ask you about this because I thought there was an interesting chapter about where vibrators and dildos and stuff came about. And there's a little what's myth and what's real. Now I bought a Dr. Makara's blood circulator, the Pulsicon. And it's very clearly like an egg beater style. You rotate it with your hand. It's a hand crank, and it has a rubber knob on the end, and it would vibrate pretty fast. And everything points to and everything that comes along with it, they sold it as a medical device, but it clearly was you could put it on your clitoris and you could have an orgasm with it. Now, true or not, in the Victorian era, that was part of that, or is that all fallacy?
Most of it is fallacy. So the first vibrator that was invented in the late 1800s, it was specifically invented for men, not women. It's the myth that vibrators were created to cure women's hysteria, right? That loose term that just essentially means that any emotion that a woman is experiencing that makes a man uncomfortable. That's a myth. Vibrators were not created for that. However, it didn't take long, just like any new invention, for the vibrator to become sexualized. And
yeah, because they realize it works.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a historian named Dr. Kate Lister who refers to this as the kink blink. And that's the amount of time it takes for a new invention to start being sexual in some way. So it happens in a kink blink. And so with vibrators, it's typically pointed to by the early 1900s. Yeah, they were being used on the genitals regardless if they were being marketed as such.
Yeah, no, because you're right. You think, what's the kink blink? Well, I can explain it to you. As being a young pubescent boy and literally seeing a hole and going, I could or I couldn't.
You know, right.
You know, I could put it in that. That'll totally work if I do this. I mean, you know, let's face it, it's not unusual for a girl Nikki had a favorite toy, had a care, was it a Care Bear? A Care Bear growing up that she was very fond of. Or a girl finds her electric toothbrush, whatever. We just, again, the kink blink, it wasn't designed for that, but it sure did work.
Yeah, I recall, like, I grew up in the 80s and 90s, and there was, like, this fad squiggle pen that kind of vibrated and kind of made, like, weird squiggles as you wrote. Could totally see that being someone's first vibrator growing up when they had that.
Yeah.
Doesn't take long to realize, oh, I think this would feel good on certain parts of my body.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So this entire book, this really is a fantastic book.
Thank you.
The Wonderfully Weird History and Science of Masturbation, and why we decided to focus so much shame and societal scorn on the idea. It's pretty crazy. But yet, when I read the foreword in this, it discussed, hold on, what was it you were accused of? Because I really want to, I wanted to get this all correct, or in the back of it here. It says, while not defending himself against accusations of devil worship and witchcraft, he and his wife pass the time by staring at their 3 cats and actively avoiding small talk with their neighbors.
Yeah, that's just been a lifelong battle of not being accused of being a devil worshiper. Just because I'm interested in heavy metal music and horror movies, I have a lot of satanic-looking tattoos, shaved head. Yeah, at first glance, I get it, I'm just an atheist. So.
I love metal, and by the way, you are a clinical psychologist as well.
I am, yes, I'm a clinical psychologist.
That's a great question. Why do we love rock and roll the way we do? My first answer is always escapism, somehow to let us know we're not weirdos for feeling the way we do. It shows us that there's other people out there, and it qualifies our feelings. True or no?
True. Yeah, I would say that really nails it. I think it speaks to a lot of teenage angst, teenage isolation, and when you kind of have that mixed in with some heavy riffs, it just really hits. And when you grow up with that, most of the time you keep it for the rest of your life. And so, like, it becomes your nostalgia and your good place to go. And it's kind of, for non-metal heads, it's hard to kind of wrap their heads around of how something can be so heavy and relaxing at the same time. Like, that's my, like, soothing background music. I can put on some of the heaviest albums, and it's just, like, waterfalls and whale sound to me.
Yeah, well, listen, without metal and masturbation, I would have offed myself by 11th grade. There's no chance.
Yeah.
I remember my mom, she told me my mom was English, these are the best years of your life. And I remember thinking, oh, my God, I'm covered in pimples. I got my ass kicked. No girls like me. I don't think I have any friends. And I have a permanent erection. If this is the best it gets, just hand me the gun. Like, it's over. Which is terrible.
Right.
The good news.
Yeah, fortunately, high school is not the best part.
No, not at all. So you and your wife, you're a certified sex therapist and a clinical psychologist. Mm-hmm. You decided to write this. And by the way, you are also a teacher at the Minnesota State University?
Yeah, that's my main job. I'm a professor.
Oh, my God, dude, you've got to have the best life ever.
Yeah, I'm not complaining. Yeah, having this job and then, spending a summer writing about masturbation, just on my back patio, hanging out with my cats, It was a good time.
So, Doc, let me tell you this. Before I got into radio, I was a paramedic on an ambulance. And there's an entire chapter in here about things stuck in your butt.
Yeah, that was a fun chapter to write.
Because everybody who's ever been in an ER, worked in ER, worked on an ambulance, been a fireman, been on a call, hit a 911, or a cop knows nothing. And I mean nothing accidentally goes in your ass.
Right, yeah. It's hard to get up there.
So what was the record? 22 Happy Meal toys?
Yeah, that was fun. That was actually a conversation I had with a woman on Instagram. She was an ER physician, and I was kind of posting some things about the research I was doing at the time and some of the articles I was reading about these foreign body insertions, as they called. And she messaged me telling her her story about one night at the ER in which she removed 20 Happy Meal toys from a middle-aged man's anus. Which my first thought was, yeah, that really gives new meaning to the McDonald's slogan. I'm loving it.
Well, my second thought is, were there any doubles, or did he collect the toys until he got all 22?
Right, yeah, still in the original packaging. He was a good collector.
But we always say the same thing, right? Whenever you get somebody in an ER, they always say, I sat on it. It was a one in a million shot.
Right, the Seinfeld reference. No, it was always intentional. The research does show that, and this was another surprising thing, like the fetal masturbation, of like how much research has been published on this. And unfortunately, they're all like case studies. And so, yeah, you definitely don't want to be a case study from a masturbation accident. You never want to go to the ER and doctors are gathering around you, taking notes and taking photos. But this is what we're left with the literature on it. But there can be other reasons besides sexual that someone is inserting things into their body. It can be relating to other types of mental health disturbances, but more than likely it's for sexual arousal.
Tell me this, because we bounce this around a lot on the show. Weird fetishes, could be your feet, could be poop, whatever it is. Where do fetishes form? Because I can never read enough to get a clear answer in my head. Where do fetishes come from? Why do we have that one kink? And I'm so glad that I didn't get that weird kink where you got to like watch some lady poop under a glass table. Like, it's thank God, right. You know, but where do they come from? When are they formed?
Yeah. You haven't been able to find anything decent because there really isn't anything decent, conclusive at least. There's some theories out there. A lot of it have to do with like conditioning, early imprinting that, a paired association, think of it like Pavlov's dog kind of stuff. That early on in our sexual development, we had an erection or were aroused in some way, excuse me, and there was some non-sexual object in the vicinity, and then that just kind of imprinted on us, and that developed into a fetish. But that can happen for a lot of people. Like, there's always non-sexual things around us during sexual moments, and so why is one thing imprinting on us and not others? And so that's more of kind of like maybe we're genetically predisposed to have a little sexual inclination to some non-sexual objects more than others. It's probably a combination of both, but really there's no definitive answer. It's really been just kind of looking at, is this harmful to you? Is this going to be an impact, negative impact in your life? More than likely not. And so just roll with it. It's your thing. It's your kink. It's weird, but who cares? It's really not hurting anybody.
Somebody had texted in, what does the doctor think about couples that make porn together? So they make sex tapes together.
Yeah.
I'm
good for them.
That's what I would think. I would think, man, what a great thing to do. What a fun thing to do with somebody.
Yeah, I mean, whether they're just doing it for their own enjoyment and it's kind of just like they like filming themselves, they like watching it back, or if they're doing it for profit, if they have like an OnlyFans or something, more power to them.
Yeah, and tell me this. Why do you think we shame women on OnlyFans? There's like that incel, super angry dude.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to get laid, but for some reason, they're the first guys to call a girl a whore because she has any kind of sexual power.
Yeah, those guys are the worst. And they're frustrated that they don't have a girlfriend of themselves. They think it's because they have small wrists or something. They get into a lot of like bro science and are trying to hit the gym and taking testosterone supplements. And it's really just because they have shitty personalities. They really have nothing to offer a girlfriend. It has less to do about how they look. But so they're really angry about that, and they think they're entitled to have a girlfriend. And so when they see women who are really having their own sexual agency and owning it, and in their eyes, like flaunting it, that just sends them over the edge. And they project all their own kind of like low self-esteem stuff onto somebody who is kind of living their life authentically, and that they just can't tolerate that.
And here's, speaking of living your life authentically, I feel and this may be just me, and there's no reason, I don't know that I can even back it up, but just knowing humans, we see these industries of anti-masturbation. You can go to the hospital. You can go get your 12-step. You can go, it costs about, you were saying, about $70,000. But
yeah. How
do you end up in these places? It's not because the guy jerking off really believes that he's addicted. I feel like he's got to blame something for his poor behavior in another aspect of his life. So in order, instead of taking personal responsibility, I know I banged that girl, but I wouldn't have behind your back if I hadn't been looking at his pornography. Off we go to 70 grand.
Yeah, for sure. So a lot of times that is motivated as a last-ditch effort to save a relationship. Like, you got caught doing something, even if it's just your browser history, right? No, like, in-person cheating. You're just, like, watching porn, and that was a relationship violation of some sort that's akin to cheating in some relationships, whatever. You have to, like, atone for those sins, and some people are willing to do whatever to keep the relationship. For others, this research didn't get into my book because it was like published after I was finished writing, but there's new research that kind of focuses on this idea of sex addicts, self-described self-addicts, having certain higher levels of narcissism than originally thought. And how that can be related to this is that they are going to have external blames for their own behavior. They're not going to take ownership of what they're doing and take responsibility. They're going to put it on this outside source, this, oh, it's not me, it's this addiction. And so I need to lock myself away in this 45-day residential treatment center in order to get cured, and then I'll be a better person. Instead of just recognizing of like, oh, yeah, I was kind of being a crappy partner because I was lying about this.
Yeah.
So there's narcissism tied into it as
well. I'm not sure I buy the whole addiction issue. And again, that may go against everything right in the psychological world, but I have friends who've really been addicted to really hard drugs, like everything from cocaine to fentanyl. And I've seen what happens to human beings. I've seen how it turns you inside out. And I will tell you, I don't know anybody who ever, went out and sucked a stranger's D so he could get more porn.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And I think it's very insulting for the sex addiction industry to use substance dependency as kind of like their analogy, because I think it is really making light of chemical dependency, because sexual behavior does not operate in a similar way. At best, it certainly can ruin people's lives, but because the sexual behavior being engaged in is going against their own personal moral values, it's going against the values in the relationships, and so that's why it's creating havoc. And it's not necessarily creating havoc in the same way that heroin or cocaine can.
Yeah. Now, if you're just tuning the show, The Wonderfully Weird History and Science of Masturbation by Dr. Eric Sprenkel, and it's a great book. It really is. It's a coffee table book.
Appreciate that.
You don't have to. It's not a cover to cover, man. You can literally go to any chapter and be like, huh, who knew? I didn't even know about this part.
Yeah, I wanted to write it that way, that you can hop around, just read a section. It doesn't have to go in order. There's kind of an overarching narrative to it, but it's very loose. You can hop in and out wherever you want.
See, if I had I known college could have had this course, maybe it would have been worked out for me, man.
Yeah, it sounds like you're doing all right.
And then wait, there's one thing, because we talked about it just before you came on, and I can't remember the group, but there was one of those all dude groups where they're like, you can't masturbate, you gotta be. And I feel like it was the Proud Boys and some offshoot of chauvinism. But why the constant need, especially in a big group of dudes, to know whether or not I rubbed one out yesterday?
Yeah, that was the interesting thing that I wasn't aware of prior to writing this, but so much of the anti-masturbation attitudes among some of these guy groups is because it challenges their idea of idealized masculinity. Only real men, or how you're supposed to use your sexuality, is to have sex with women. To have sex with yourself is effeminate. And there's also old beliefs that masturbating does cause a whole host of physical ailments to your body and will actually, quote unquote, feminize you. And so it's just this belief that by masturbating, you're not being a real man. And so in order to man up, you need to direct all that sexual energy toward women.
Oh, well, then I might as well grow a pair of boobs.
Trust me,
if there's a hell and you're going to it for masturbating, I'm definitely on my way. And
I'll be right next to you.
Yeah. And it's a funny thing. It's a weird subject, man. You, You go through it all, but it never ends for you all the way through your entire life, man. You literally, like we talked about, $70,000 places to help you stop touching your own genitals, when it really is the safest, most honest, most genuine self-relief you could possibly give yourself. Nobody gets pregnant. Nobody gets an STD. Nobody's feelings get hurt. You know, well, but to that point, before I let you go, I do know, here's two things I've seen in life. Downstairs in the sales department years ago, there was a kid, and the girl, not only did she not allow him, his words, to look at porn, he wasn't to masturbate. That was her. Those were her rules. What kind of, and I remember going, kid, I'll tell you, I don't think this is going to work out for you. It didn't last a year, but
right.
what is that idea?
Yeah, I don't do clinical work anymore. I used to, maybe like 10 years ago, I was doing it full time. But I would see that come up in couples therapy where there's a conflict because one partner got caught masturbating, and that violated the rules of the relationship. So the understanding was nobody masturbates. All sexual behavior has to be partnered together. And at first I was like, okay, I'm just going to kind of get into your worldview a little bit. If you both agree to this, fine. I'm not to say, you know, change that, but it's a pretty unrealistic expectation to have. And more likely one person or both are going to quote unquote transgress from time to time. And then that's when you have a problem. It's similar to what I was saying earlier, that is very much a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you think masturbation is wrong or harmful, but you occasionally do it, then yeah, it's going to be a problem in your life. If you loosen those rules a little bit and say that, yeah, there's nothing wrong with it, it's not a threat to the relationship, then you're free to masturbate whenever. Yeah. And then, therefore, it's not going to be a problem in your relationship.
And this guy, I don't know if you feel the same, but I would love to walk in and find a girl, and my girlfriend. I'm like, yo, go.
Yeah. That's,
don't stop on account of me.
Let
me get a chair. I'll just be over here. Like,
right.
On the other hand, I'm kidding me. I'm like, no, please don't walk in on me. I look like an angry gorilla. Like, it's a horrible look.
Yeah, it's a vulnerable position.
Hey, Dr. Eric Sprankle is who wrote this book. It's out now. You can order it online. You can go to what's a website they can find?
It's pretty much anywhere. You can go to my site, drsprankle.com. I have some links to the Amazon site. There's two local stores up here in the Twin Cities that are selling signed copies that can ship out. But pretty much wherever you can find books, it'll be there.
All right. But the bottom line is, everybody listening, you're normal if you masturbate. Wouldn't you say, Doc?
Absolutely. There's nothing inherently wrong with you just because you like touching your own genitals.
Hey, listen, good book. Great interview, friend. And you're welcome here anytime.
Appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Stay right there.
Masturbation time, come on!
Time for you to start jerking.
Masturbation time, come on!
Yeah, it's time to work that jerking.
There's a party in my pants right now.
A funny feeling stirring there and how.
So grab that lotion, you know what to do. It's time to fire off a warning shot or two. Come on now.
Masturbation.
I'm gonna masturbate and take me a nap. Come on now.
Masturbation.
Oh yeah, I'll drop my britches and fap, 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 fap. You know it. Bukkake cream pie or whatever. Fire up the porn, what's your pleasure?
Grab a box of tissues for you to come on! It's masturbation time, come on!
Yeah, I'm gonna have a fun day.
Masturbation time, come on!
Cause every day is Palm Sunday.
Masturbation time, oh God!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.